And what a weekend we had in wrestling. And I was thinking about, man, what are the big topics? And I was kind of rattling off a list. And I feel like Makai Lewis losing, an NCAA champion losing, was like the ninth most insane thing on the list. As Ben hacks away a little bit.
This has been...
Sinus infection, got a loogie up. But I laugh because my wife, we ran out of coffee and she went and got me, and she wrote Pookie Bear, assuming that maybe I'm going to accidentally show it and then you guys would mock me.
That's adorable.
Way to get ahead of that one.
Everyone's hacking up a storm here.
You know what I thought today, Christian? I thought, no tangents. No bullshit tangents, because we need to talk wrestling because there was so much of it today.
There was so much, but also, don't try to live my life. It's my life.
No tangents. Stay focused.
This has been like the craziest regular season weekend I can about ever remember.
I'm dead serious. It's up there for an insane, insane weekend. It wasn't just like a tournament or a happening. Like Iowa State was pretty insane. Honestly, it was very epic, but it wasn't like there weren't crazy upsets. What'd you say?
A little bit. It was kind of to chalk. Like it was kind of how we went. Well, I mean, my picks were good. I don't know about JD's, but it kind of went the way we thought it was going to go.
Mine were good. What do you mean?
Really? You did good?
Yeah.
They weren't. Not your Iowa State picks.
They were fine.
You only got four. You were 4-4.
That's fine. You went.
No, you actually went 4-5 because you picked Iowa State.
Yeah, well, you got to believe in something.
So let's go. Let's start there. Let's start with the Iowa State duel. It was so anticipated. It lived up to the hype. It was
and that was against the spread, by the way.
Oh my gosh,
not straight up.
Okay, I'll keep going. The duel was great, and we saw right away. Well. The sheet comes out the day of, and you see Spencer Lee's name on it, and it's like, okay, he's for sure going to be going.
That oh yeah, that shifted the gambling line 8 points in official books that had the line.
So he comes out, and it's a pretty typical Spencer Lee first period takedown. Actually, it was sort of surprising that Kabanban got the escape right away when he got in, but it was like the way he got the takedown, he wasn't like in a position to get that breakdown. But then he gets another one, a couple turns, and he's got 12 points in the first period. And, you know, obviously first time on the mat since a year ago, 11 months after double ACL surgery. So not in like top Spencer Lee shape, but didn't really matter. He got the major decision to where I think if you're
tired, the second, third, there was that look in his eyes. I don't know if you ever noticed this look in someone's eyes, guys, when they get so tired, they get this like super tunnel vision-y like thing, and you see it in their face. He was like dead tired. You could tell he did that one for the team.
He definitely did. Should have been out there. He definitely did. And if he doesn't wrestle, they do not win. Simple as that.
No.
And he gutted it out, and he still got a takedown, I think, in the third period. But yeah.
Yeah, he hit that nice throw by off of Kabanban's shot.
He's really good at that, among other things. But it was great to see him back on the mat. It was cool that I don't know if it's cool or what it is, but, you know, no big knee brace for the first time in what feels like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The sleeve and a knee pad. So.
Because I'm assuming we won't see him again now for a while because just how tired he looked. Didn't look like he really wanted to be out there. I guess they only got, Chattanooga.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What did you say? Didn't look like he wanted to be out there? Is that what you said?
I didn't look like he should be out there.
Oh,
looked
should.
Like he was really tired. He probably wasn't ready to come back yet. And they said, "Hey, dude, we need you to beat Iowa State. Can you go out there for us?" And he said, "Sure." But you know, a couple more weeks of preparation because obviously coming off the injury, he hasn't been training super hard, probably. So he's going to get in better shape and look better as he gets further and further away from the injury.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what his workload has been like, what he's been able to do and not do up to this point. Because it sounds like in the summer he was like on the mat, but what does on the mat really mean? It means you're maybe doing some wrestling moves, but like what's the extent of his training? How much is he allowed to train? I'm sure they'll be very careful with him.
You know, he's probably not running, probably biking as his main source of conditioning, and it's not fun to do for a long time every day.
Yeah, and I think he's normally a runner type of guy for his conditioning. I know I've been in the room and he's
now
hitting the treadmill hard.
Makes you wonder how much more in shape can he get by March.
I think a lot. I think every
a lot.
Because if you consider the amount of time, he just hasn't probably been able to build that base of conditioning yet, or he's just now getting to where he's able to build the base. Now it's December. By March, I think he'll be a completely different animal for sure.
Yeah.
And also, I thought, you know, at first, he's not a big 25. Everyone knows that. But first time down to weight in that amount of time can have an impact.
We know he's been
lifting
a lot this offseason.
Yeah.
Maybe put some size on.
Yeah. So it could it's myriad factors. And it ultimately resulted in a major decision for Spencer that if they don't have, they don't win. I mean, Kabanban wins that match probably straight up against Aiden Harris and maybe gets bonus. Kabanban is not a slouch. He's a backup, but he's good.
Terracina was hurt a little bit, Dresser said in the press conference. He tweaked his shoulder against McKee, but that he'll be back in January is the plan, he said. He said he's already like back kind of working out, but not enough to go live. Yeah, I saw we got a question. Actual Cannibal, actually, I think it was.
Shout out to
him. Yeah, long time listener and question asker.
Hopefully short time Cannibal.
True. Asked like something outrageous, like would Iowa State have won if Terracina was out there? No. Kabanban is basically on the same level as Terracina. Maybe not quite, but he who did he beat?
Similar.
Yeah.
The way he got pinned against McKee, if you're prone to getting put on your back, it's even more likely it could have gone worse for them. And I think if you're Iowa State at the end of that one, you say, heck yeah, we'll take that. We'll take a major.
Cause he did his job.
Going into it, you're thinking 5 or 6 against Spencer Lee. But there was the question, like, how is Spencer going to feel? But at the end of it, he stood the test. He got it done. When we'll see him again.
It was Teske. That's who Kabanban beat last season.
So Spencer gets the win, and in the press conference he says it's his call whether he wrestles or not, and it'll be his call the remainder of the year. He says he likes hearing from the coaches their opinions, but he's going to be the one that makes the decision. So if we see him again, what'd you say?
That's a bold sentence.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
I like hearing from my coaches, but I'm going to make the decision. How many other college athletes would say that?
I don't know.
I appreciate their input, but I make the decisions.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe in a way,
he's giving them air cover. It's like that way, if he comes out and has a bad performance, he's just saying, like, hey, it's my decision. Yeah. It's my decision to wrestle.
No, I'm good with it. You just don't hear that a lot in college athletics at all. And I was the older generation would hear something like that and they would hate it. And I think, I think most decisions between a college athlete and a college coach should be pushing in the same direction. And there shouldn't be that much conflict. Every once in a while, maybe some conflict, but not too much.
Yeah. Okay. So that's 25. I'm sure we'll talk more Spencer later, maybe 33, Adasov beat Shriver. Shriver got in, had a couple opportunities, couldn't convert, couldn't finish, and Adasov did, and that was the difference in probably one of the least consequential matches of the duel. Although in a duel meet, they're all very important to the overall. But Iowa State had to have 33, and they got it, and then came to one of the most anticipated, maybe the most anticipated match of the duel, maybe of the weekend, Casey Swiderski versus Real Woods, and it's a 3-2 final. But the way you get that 3-2 is not as conventional as you would think. It's not like a one takedown match, two escape type of deal. Real Woods did not get a takedown in this match. He got a stall point, and he got an escape and riding time. And
yeah,
go ahead.
Did we know Swiderski was this deficient on bottom? Because he was not really anywhere all that close to an escape. I didn't feel the whole match.
Real's good on top. He rode Cole Matthews the entire period in their NCAA match, entire period. So, and also, just to be honest, he's not working for a turn at any point. He's just had a deep waist and attacked the arm. So I thought Swiderski was working reasonably, but Real got to his position where he can just keep you glued to the mat. And
so you didn't like the stall call?
No, I didn't like the stall call.
The second one,
bad stall call there, and really, they let Real run straight out of bounds in the third, and they called action. And I thought
that's the worst call that happened. It actually happened a lot of times. I was just because I just watched. What did I saw this morning? Oh, G Feller and Bray. And there's the one time where in the third period, G Feller foot sweeps him. And, you know, Lee kind of pushes back because he knows he's close to out of bounds. He doesn't get all the way out. And he turns and he freaking keeps crawling. And they called an action. It's like, yeah. What? He just literally, as efficiently as possible, he got off the mat.
Yeah, I don't like it. I thought Swiderski should have got hit for stalling in the first. He was really floating to the edge, playing the edge against Real Woods. He should have been warned there. I don't think he should have given up the mat, the top bottom stall. Go ahead.
I don't hate it, but just be consistent. If you're going to be quick trigger with the stalls, yes. I think you should have called Real too.
You can't let Real back out. And also, it's like sometimes, and I don't know, it probably shouldn't factor in at all, but you know Swiderski wants to get away, and it is not beneficial for him to be laying there stalling.
I agree.
Whereas Real Woods is absolutely benefited by backing out straight out of bounds.
No, but so, even in the top, with your logic, I thought you were going to go, your logic on top, Christian. Yeah. See, so that same thing. So like if one athlete was winning and one athlete was losing, and the guy on bottom was winning, he is kind of benefited by laying flat and letting the clock tick down, right? But in a 0-0 match where one guy is clearly not tired, the guy on bottom is not benefited. He does not want to be there, right? Yeah. He literally can't get out, has inability. Now, that's on him to get better as an athlete. But from a stalling perspective, whereas the guy on top who's holding him there, who you're calling stalling, like you're calling stalling to benefit him, is being benefited by that action kind of staying in a no movement perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Like, I think a lot of refs think about that position incorrectly. And you just got to think about who is this action benefiting. I love that you brought that up. Who is this action benefiting right now? The fact that they're kind of like at a stalemate or not really moving.
Yeah. I do feel like Swiderski was waiting for the ref to bail him out because he kept being really demonstrative with his hand. Like, what's he doing kind of thing. It's like, man, you got to focus there.
So we talk about inability. I mean, like, he needs to get better there, obviously, as a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I literally think he literally couldn't get away. So he was trying to, and, you know, the ref shouldn't let him away, but probably not calling for stalling also.
Yeah.
Like,
at the end of the day, you got to get out.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Agreed. Yeah, and is he, like, sort of annoying the ref there? Like, kind of like, not that you're showing him up, but, like, he's trying to get an action from the official there. And he did it. Yeah. He did it at least twice with his hand, just sort of like.
When you're first three, everyone automatically.
He wanted to get a restart or stalling on Real, but none of that was coming.
I mean, that was a big time, I think, in Carver call. A lot of times that probably doesn't happen elsewhere. We were listening on mute.
There was another match like the watch party. Spencer never got called at all, right?
He might have.
He was pretty inactive in the second and third.
I think he might have got warned once, remember. But I don't remember.
Okay. There's another. Maybe was it Younger and Warner?
Warner went out of bounds once. Clearly,
straight out. Right? I thought,
yeah, straight out. Like, Bastida took him from the center
in the third period, right?
Yes, from the center to the edge, and then shot him out of bounds. And they called action, it was right after that. I think they had called Bastida.
Yeah, you're right. He did double unders, and then Warner broke away, and then he shot him off, and Warner went straight out of bounds, and there was an action.
That one was egregious.
So egregious.
So. Real gets it done. There's an exchange of pleasantries between Casey and Real at the end. Real is very fired up to be an Iowa Hawkeye, you can tell. Some good injected a little more tension into an already tense situation, which is good. Real got it done.
I didn't think either one of the nothing overstepped any bounds, in my opinion, this entire duel. It was all in good fun.
Real was looking for trouble at the end after the after a little back and forth. He went to the corner for the handshakes and he's staring down Swiderski. But man, I mean, for Real, it's like wrestling in an atmosphere like this. He's probably never been able to. So I'm sure he's excited.
I think for Swiderski, like, you're frustrated and you like kind of like jaw a little bit one time. Mm-hmm. Then okay, like shut up, you lost, and then go away. You know,
yeah.
But Swiderski like kept it going and kept it going. And obviously as the winner, Woods is the winner, you have way more of a right to say something because you just beat the guy.
Yes. And which he did. So it was good. 49.
Well, I think we did still learn a lot about Swiderski in this match. Sure. We got confirmation that he's a title contender. this year because of the state of 141. Yeah. Like Real was, yeah. I think, all of our preseason picks, maybe all three of ours. I don't remember for sure. But you win the takedown battle, you go, okay, I feel good. I just I got to work on bottom.
Maybe you don't go under.
Yeah, because next time, you know, next time, like say, especially if Wood gets a choice and Woods goes down and the Swordist is able to get a takedown and go up 2-1, he ain't going down.
Probably
not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
And you saw the defense from Swiderski. You're like, I can fend off, you know, some of his best attacks.
That attack.
You can build on this.
That attack in the first was, I can't believe Real didn't convert it because he was in so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And like jacked it up, and Swiderski still found a way. And this should have been like, you know, full tank for Real at that point to make the finish happen, and he couldn't do it.
I don't come away from that match thinking any less of Real Woods. Mm-mm. It's just confirmation that Swiderski's here to compete this year.
Yeah, Real's not going to light up the scoreboard on the 41 elites. He's going to win tactical matches. He's going to control center. He's going to be tough on top for riding, not turning. And that's the blueprint for a title for Real, and he can win.
Hey, JD, promise it's not a tangent. This is on wrestling topic. I think Will Luan listened to our episode because he was determined to not score points at CKLV. Christian, did you hear that episode?
Uh-uh.
Will Luan scored 3 points in 63% of his matches last year. He scored exactly 3 points.
Win or lose, he just loves scoring 3 points.
That's funny. You know what I did hear? I heard this guy betraying the rules, the vows of being a teammate. Which, first of all, he's talking about my injury yesterday, which I'm not confirming that I heard it playing kickball, because I heard it sprinting. Being an elite athlete, I sprinted. It happens to baseball players all the time. I have a giant bruise on my hamstring.
Oh, it means you're old, Christian. It means you're old. That's what it means.
Honestly, it finally happened where I never warm up. I never stretch. I just go. And it was like 45 degrees probably, and I just sprinted, and it's just dumb. I'm 37, and I will warm up moving forward. But yeah, you're putting all my injuries in the streets. You know what? It's fine. I'm okay. Not gonna let it slow me down. It was a very bad first day of CKLV traveling because I was walking like an old man. But it got much better.
You and Romero were limping together.
Yeah, Demetrius Romero was limping at the end of CKLV. I hope he's okay. Who's not limping is Pinero Johnson, as he took out Max Murin 3-1. And I felt like watching that match, first period, I was like, Murin's doing exactly what he should be doing. Like, don't play into his re-attacks. Don't give him any opportunity to get a little momentum going. And I really felt like after, in the second, third period, we would see Murin pick up his attack rate, and it didn't really come. And then the third period.
I mean, how many shots did he take the whole match, Christian?
I'm not sure.
I think it was one. I think the number's one.
That could be the number. It's
almost 9 minutes because there was very little riding on either way, and we went damn near to the end of sudden victory.
And what I would say is, I going into the third, Pinero was getting ridden pretty well for a little bit there, and I thought, I think Murin's maybe going to ride him out, but Johnson got away in the third. It went to sudden victory. And then you could tell, like, at some point, I don't know when, it was maybe in the second, third, like, Murin's like, listen, I just got to get this guy to tiebreakers and I'll win. And it felt like that was the tactic he was trying to implement. And
he was like, I cannot go to tiebreakers.
And then Pinero had the exact inverse. And then late, he's like, oh my gosh, I can't go to tiebreakers, this guy. And in the last, like, 15 seconds, like, shoot. And he gets the takedown late. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that's another one, guys, where you could see, like, there's a potential there. Why shouldn't that be called for stalling? I mean, Murin did literally no attacking in damn near 9 minutes.
Yeah, it was minimal. I mean, I think I would say it was not like Pinero was volume shooting out there. He was being fairly selective in his own
right. In overtime, to your point, he knew he had to win in the sudden victory. He probably took 5 attacks in overtime.
He took a lot in overtime.
Yeah. So, I mean, like in overtime, he is significantly more aggressive. And to that point, that's where a stall call could really be a factor because, you know, if he gets any, I felt like he deserved one. If he gets a stall call against Murin, then in the tiebreakers, the stall call can matter because if Murin hangs onto a leg, it's a point versus a warning. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. So Pinheiro gets the win there, and Iowa State's immediately back in the match. I don't know if or do you guys have any other thoughts on this bout? I was really surprised he was able to get this late.
Pinheiro is all the. I mean, like, I have no more questions about his cardio issues. He went 9 minutes in Carver Hawkeye and was wrestling hard at the end of the 9 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I think he probably has that figured out. I don't really know what happened against Grandview, but it seems like for the big matches, he's wrestled hard the entirety of the match. His attacks are good. I mean, like that last single hit was really smooth. Yeah, I think he's a problem for pretty much everyone at this weight class.
And it wasn't it's not like he got in so deep and it was just the cleanest finish ever. He had to kind of like wrestle through the position and out win the counter scramble that Murin was throwing at him, which I thought was pretty impressive too. So he's the real deal. I mean, where do you rank this guy? He's beating Max Murin and Austin Gomez now.
Gotta be top five now, right?
Yeah, I mean, does he go ahead of? I mean, he should go ahead of a Kyle Parco, in my opinion.
Yeah, Parco just lost to Sasso. Parco did beat Milner.
If he goes ahead of Kyle Parco, you got to put him ahead of Austin Gomez.
I think you might just
number two.
He beat Gomez.
Pinheiro Johnson number two, maybe.
Pinheiro Johnson number one ahead of the guy who beat number one.
Honestly, let's change the sentence completely. It's Pinheiro Johnson Hodgewatch right now. He's coming.
Well, I mean, he just for the mid bonus, but honestly, if Yanni doesn't start looking better, could he challenge Yanni? I'm not ruling it out. I mean, yeah, he beat Gomez decisively. Gomez beat Yanni decisively. I think if you would have told me that sentence like 2 months ago, I would have said you're a freaking lunatic. But you tell me that sentence now, and I'm like, maybe we'll see it.
Challenge for sure.
What's interesting about, Pinheiro, or in this time of year for rankings, is you're still sort of looking at last year. That's like informing a lot of it. But at some point, you got to get beyond that. And it's like, man, this year is this year. And this is what mattered. And like, are we really going to hammer this guy for a red shirt, gray shirt year result? When, all right, now when it matters, he's not losing. He's winning. And he's not just, it's not just one win. Now he's got two really top 10 wins, one of them over the number two guy in the country.
No, I would definitely not. I mean, when the guys come in their first year, I would almost, I don't want to say never, but I wouldn't count their last year's results against them too heavily. They've just, a lot of these guys improved so much over the course of their first year at college. And it's like, now what's his body of work this year? And his body of work this year is really good. He's beaten two really, really highly ranked guys. I think you got to rank him. I don't know. Two kind of makes sense when you guys say it. I wouldn't have thought that immediately, but when you say it, it makes sense for sure.
Everyone, he's had opportunities to lose and he hasn't. And these guys, it's not like he's passing undefeated people. He'd be passing someone he beat this year.
Was he the only
passing? Sammy Sasso lost to Caleb Henson this year.
Yeah, I think. Wait, he's the only undefeated really good guy at 149 left, right?
Yes.
He is.
I mean, I don't know. Has Mahler lost yet? No, he lost to Parco, yeah.
Yeah, Mahler lost to Parco.
Yeah, I mean, I think
they all have a loss now. Make him number one.
I'll say it.
Yeah, Milner lost, Parco lost, Sasso lost, Murin lost, Yaya lost, Brock Mahler lost.
He's the real deal, he's Bubba. The only...
What?
He's the real deal, Bubba.
Yeah.
Even you go deeper, Zap, Henson, it is crazy. It's December 4-5, and they all have a loss except him.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want? What else you got to do?
Yeah.
I'm talking to JD because he and Kozak are the ranker. Like, how do you hold him back? These guys lost matches. What? Sammy Sasso lost to Caleb Henson. That happened. That's documented.
And he lost to Austin Gomez. That counts in the rankings.
That does. And he beat Austin Gomez. What else you got to do? Why do you hate the Cyclones?
I love the Cyclones.
I think you're reverse ranking right now. I think you're scared that people will cite you as a Cyclone.
Beat Austin, he'll go up.
Oh, guys, did you guys realize this?
What?
Collegiate duels, December 19th, Cornell versus Iowa State.
Oh, boy.
Will Yanni Russell.
Oh, look at that match. Let's go.
Will Yanni Russell.
No.
He's what? Wrestling. Come on, he's Yanni.
World Cup.
That's this weekend.
World Cup.
I know, but weekend. you know how they are.
I hope he wrestles really bad. I really hope he does.
There's going to be a lot of Cyclone fans angry if Pinero doesn't get that match. And, well, there's going to be a lot of NCAA wrestling fans if Pinero's number two and Yanni's number one and Yanni doesn't wrestle.
I'm high on Pinero getting a higher ranking, but I'm not elevating that to thing status. Not a thing. Yanni versus Pinero. I'm not there.
It's a thing. Christian, it's a thing.
I think none of us are going to pick it, but it's a thing.
We'll not pick
it. And it's a thing because you are absolutely going to be tuning into that match live if it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Put a farm on it, Christian. I bet you won't.
What'd you say?
Is that a farm bet? Yanni farm bet?
Yes. Yes. Yanni versus Pinero.
No, you
straight
won't.
Up? Yeah.
That's because you just know you don't actually have to pay out any farms because last time you lost all them damn farms, you ain't paying.
No, I've been accumulating agriculture. Listen, I won the farms last year. I won all your farms. You have no more land.
I just won. I won last week.
You have to rename Funky Fresh weeks. Farms. It's Piles Acres now. No longer Funky Fresh Farms.
Hey, I'm going to Boston next week. I'll be live from Boston on Wednesday. My buddy Truman McGee, Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. Mass production begins next week. Let's do it.
Okay, there we go. Very related to the topic at hand.
Funky Fresh Farms producing some mass-produced spring rolls.
Yeah, and they're mine, and I'm getting all the benefits. Okay, Kobe Seabrook continues to win matches by bonus point victories. Jason Crazer was a big help in that. At the end, when he tried to...
Why you get desperate? You couldn't get desperate 10 seconds later to avoid giving up?
He really threaded the needle for major decision self-destruction there. To, like, basically take himself down and then give up the riding time. And, yeah, not it didn't matter in the duel, but at 57, you're thinking, we could win and we should not get bonused, and neither happened.
Both coaches at the end of the duel said it came down to bonus points because matches went 5-5, and obviously Iowa got bonus. But in my opinion,
you don't think that's the case.
No, I if you flip 140, like, you're gonna get bonus at 125. Oh, yeah. So, like, in my opinion, Kabanbian went out there and did his job. Mm-hmm. So it came down to Iowa 141. That to me, like, that was the that
Iowa
was a bigger
State
factor.
Needed to win six matches to win this duel.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Spencer's getting bonus points, and Spencer came out, did his job, got bonus points. Like,
where was the third point?
74, 57, 125.
I gotta disagree.
74.
But if Spencer gets his bonus points, they still win.
No, listen, hold on. If we're playing the hypothetical game, 57 should not be a major decision for Iowa State. 65 should be. Theoretically.
No, we all bet that line.
I didn't set the line at major decision.
Should, meaning it's if you're Iowa State, you're thinking you should get the bonus point. Kevin Dresser said we should have got the bonus point. He was up.
Look, he did slow down. He could have pushed and got
he was up big. Hold on. JD set the line at 2.5. And we all still bet on Kennedy. No one thought Carr was getting bonus there.
But in the second period, it looked like it should be.
Sure, but going into the match versus as the match is happening, right? Going into the match, we all thought it was going to be closer than 2.5 points.
Okay, well, we all know now where the two stand. And based on that match, it was certainly possible that David Carr get a major decision there. 157, they should not be giving up a major decision there, okay?
Agreed.
174... MJ Gaetan was, I mean, the things he was attempting were just, I mean, I get what they were trying. He's the best guy in the room, but you're not thinking you're giving up bonus points there. So I think it really did come down to the bonus point.
You're also thinking 5 or 6 from Spencer Lee.
Probably, but there was an element of kind of what we saw. Like, well, maybe, but first match in a year, there was, you know. He's had,
I think I thought Iowa had to win six matches to win the duel, for sure.
Very, very possible. But I think there was a path. There was a, all right, here's my point. Whole point. There was a very reasonable 5-5 path for Iowa State.
I disagree. I disagree. Going into the duel, not as the duel is playing out, Christian, but going into the duel, if you would have said it to me, I would have said there's not. Iowa is so much more likely to get bonus. And really, of the five matches Iowa State won, I would say the only one they had a chance at bonus would have been 65.
And then you could say the same thing about Cassiope. Cassiope should have gotten the major.
He almost got that too. He had that sucker locked up.
I about jumped out of my seat. When you get that, you need to grip it and rip it. That's not a position you
need. Not against Cassiope. He's too strong. His back arm was too high. Can't cradle up there.
No, you can. I'll get into the mechanics later, Ben. But
it breaks my four cradle. I have four cradle rules, and it breaks one of my cradle rules.
Well, I want to know the rules.
You want to know them right now?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Number one is elbow creases on the neck and the knee. Neck and knee. Is inside, outside, or any kind of cradle. Inside, outside.
I knew that one.
The elbow creases there. Number two would be a lock. The lock has two parts to it. Lock is never any thumb. So I go here, here, or anywhere up in here. And then number two part of the lock is it's a zip tie, right? So as I crunch them, it can get tighter and tighter and tighter, but it locks in, right? It never loosens like a zip tie. So I can crunch them. Number three would be collarbone on the cradle line. So the rule it violated, well, it actually violated two rules. Number one, his elbow wasn't behind the knee, which it needs to be. And number two, his chest was significantly too high, right? Because if your chest is too high or on the outside cradle will be too low, right? Too much towards their body, you're never going to be able to expose their shoulder to actually pin them. You're going to be covering their shoulder, so there'll be no pin possible. Plus, it's harder to hold. And then number four is squeeze, because a lot of kids just kind of squeeze their hands like this, and you got to like try to kill them, you know, like crunch them.
Got it.
So those are the four cradle rules.
That's a freebie there, folks. Four rules. Yeah. I have nine rules to my cradle, and but they're behind the paywall. So if you want five more rules, sign up today.
There you go. That's a good marketing play right there. I do a full cradle DVD on Wrestling Fanatics. Shout out to them.
Check it out. Okay. I owned several of your DVDs back when they were actually DVDs.
I did my original ones with
Championship Productions.
Yes, correct. And you know what? I searched my book the other day on Amazon. Hey, great Christmas present, everyone. Christian, did you open and read it yet? I sent Christian a signed copy, and he's like, "You didn't sign it?" And I'm like, "I effing did, Christian. You're full of crap." And he admitted that he didn't actually open the book. This was signed in my wallet.
I told you to start cracking the book. I had set aside time to read it, and then the book didn't come. Did you write me a personalized note, or did you just sign it like I'm some fan?
I actually did. You still haven't looked at it. You're admitting you still haven't looked. Oh, my God.
I'm going to read. JD,
go steal his book, and I'm going to cross his out, and I'm going to write a personalized note.
I'll read your book. It would be an honor.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read everything.
We're not even sure Chris knows how to read at this point.
I can read. Actually,
that's unconfirmed.
My son judges me so hard because my kids read constantly. They read, they knock out big novel, like they love to read. And Caleb's like, "When's the last time you read a book?" And I was like, "Man, I honestly, I'm not sure." He's like, "That is sad." Well, son, this was probably a year or two ago too. Jeez,
that's too funny.
I know. Sorry. I read podcasts with my ears. 57, we talked about Kobe's, he's a good guy to have in dual meets, that's for sure. He's been helpful. Carr Kennedy, it looked like Carr might have a shot at the major, but Kennedy's a tough guy, and he's not going to fade over the course of a match.
Yeah, and I thought David Fine, he'd been wrestling a little tight. Mm-hmm. This season, which is why I put the line as close as I did, and David covered that. I thought he looked really good. I would have liked to see him continue that in the third period and push for that major, which he didn't, but David looked solid.
I came away actually really impressed with Nelson at 74, even just for him to come out aggressive like that.
Yeah, after coming out so close last week when he came out. And
yeah.
He came out guns ablaze and got that takedown in the first 10 seconds, and it was like, he's not going to lose this match.
No, no way. And, you know, Coach Dresser said, he's like, you know, Gaetan beats all our guys in the room.
He listened to me on FRL the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I said...
Terrible advice. Broderson's not getting majored, I don't think.
That didn't make it. Didn't make a difference in the duel.
You can't say that. It all makes a difference. It all the pieces matter. Lester Freeman, The Wire.
No, yeah, you can literally say if he gives up a regular decision here, Iowa State still loses. You can say that. You can't. Yeah. You can also say MJ Guyton, they thought pre-duel gave them a better chance to win this match. And you can say for certainty if they win this match, they win the duel.
Well, they were wrong. And who's to say if Broderson...
It's not necessarily wrong that Guyton gives them a better chance to win versus Broderson.
An undersized scrambler against a super solid, strong guy, Nelson Brands, is not their best option to win that match, I don't think. He might be the better wrestler, but that doesn't mean he's the better option. And it's hindsight now, right? Obviously, I can say that now after the match happens. It was. It's also true.
I don't know that for a fact, because you can wrestling matches like this where Devine wrestled him to an overtime match, but Nelson Brands is going to win that match 90% of the time. There can be close matches in wrestling where one guy will win. It will be the same outcome 90% of the time. Whereas somebody can get majored, but they are going to win 75% of the time. Or they, like, somebody can get majored and they will win the match 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. But if you're in a lot of these 3-1 type of things, it can break the other way.
It can, but there are times where it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Look at Will Luan.
Look at him.
Man, it's, dude, it's so crazy how Iowa State has, like, they got, like, 9 174s who are like NCAA qualifier level, but none that are very far above that.
Yeah. So
there's so many.
All right. So
84. Saad Coleman. Saad wrestled significantly closer than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah. And Dresser said as much, like, man, we got to open up more there. He's like, that's the one match I feel like we really.
Oh, clown me for that point and a half line.
I know. Yep. No, it was wrong.
And Assad covered.
He did. He did cover. And he had some opportunities, too. He has a hard time finishing. I noticed that even in his earlier duels this year, like he really does a good job of getting in, but finishing's tough for him. And Coleman's really hard guy to finish on.
Yes.
But he wins. And then Bastida gets 2 takedowns against Warner.
Kisses and tongues his way to victory.
He kissed. Yeah. He was tying. Well, you know, him and Warner, I think, had a little back and forth there. And, yeah, I just rewatched that third period stall that wasn't called. That was pretty obvious.
So bad, right?
He backed straight out of bounds.
Literally straight out of bounds.
And I don't think Jacob hadn't been warned there. So
just, no, well, it wouldn't have come into
but just
play
hit,
at all.
But just hit. So hit him.
Exactly.
So yeah, him. I don't know why they don't. But there was a bunch of scenarios like that this week when I was watching. And I feel like. I don't know why refs miss that. It's like they're way more likely to call a push out of bounds than someone who's literally evading a takedown. Like, well, the person is literally evading the takedown. And, you know, I brought the Brayton Lee example also, and they won't call it. It's so bizarre.
There, in that instance, if Warner is winning or he's not a Hawkeye in Carver Arena, that gets called, in my opinion.
Sure. Probably. Man,
it doesn't get called because he is losing.
Man, I watched a whole weekend at CKLV, and I didn't see any stall calls like that missed the whole time. I think that's just an environment type of thing. And yeah, I don't know. And you're crazy if you don't think that the atmosphere and the coaches have an impact on how these refs call match. It really does.
Thousands, and I think attendance was 14,900 some, and I'm sure 13,000 of those were Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
And especially right there on that bench, like, that's probably why Casey Swiderski gets hit for stalling on bottom, because you got
They're going crazy.
Yeah, crowd's going
crazy. You got 13,000 people yelling, stalling, and you know they're yelling, stalling.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, that's pressure. The difference in that match. If he doesn't get the stall point, then that match is 2-2 going overtime.
And with Younger beating Warner again, not, it kind of pulls 97 into focus, which it got turned on its head this weekend.
It's not quite.
Oh, my gosh. In
focus after this weekend.
The focus of conversation. And
hey, I got to blow my nose. I'll be back in 5 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. The amount of things this guy excretes.
including B.O.
Yeah. So, Dean goes
Max
down.
Max, Dean lost twice. Did you guys see that?
Yes. Yeah. Snot Rocket. We did. Oh, my gosh.
I got bad sinuses. What can I tell you?
Man, not me. I don't even know what that's like.
I got really tiny nostril holes. My wife makes fun of me.
That's why you get so tired in your matches.
I don't get tired, but I used to get terrible sinus infections. But I realized dairy causes a lot of phlegm, so I stopped eating that. And then I use a neti pot, and it's much better than it used to be. So my life's good. Let's talk about Max Dean.
Let us do that. He loses to Laird in a very, very close
controversial
takedown. You could definitely call it controversial takedown, to where people got reacquainted or for the first time introduced to the what I think is just a dumb rule. And I talked to a bunch of officials that are like, it is so dumb. This rule makes no sense. Like, why are there different criteria for a takedown? Because you get to rear standing. It doesn't make sense.
Stupid.
And but that's a separate conversation from what is the right call. And the second that hand touches that moment, as long as Laird's behind, once he gets behind and they're standing, it is a takedown. And it doesn't matter the fact that Dean created
on that
some
one,
great hit
I almost
motion.
Felt like he was on his side. Like, I almost felt like he was a little bit on the side of Max Dean by the point that they hit the ground.
But he,
I saw the freeze frame you guys showed. But yeah, by the time they hit the ground, I thought he was like almost side by side.
So, also, for the record, in that freeze frame, Laird's completely 100% off the mat. His feet are not touching, and neither are his hands. I don't think or know if that comes into play, but it's of note.
So once you establish that rear standing position, it changes things. So yeah, maybe you can, once you get there, you can maybe come off to the side when you're lifting and putting the guy and still get the one. So yeah, while it's not where the position started. It didn't start with him to the side and he put him down. It started with him completely behind Max Dean. And then he lifts and puts him down. And, you know, they'll maybe look at this rule a little more closely now, because I feel like the spirit of the sport, I think everyone kind of knows that's not really what we consider folk style control. But they created these rules makers love to create and write these very specific scenarios. Nonsense. And I don't know why they do it. It's like they hate the refs.
It's also
it's
nice.
So dumb.
It's also nice though that rule leaves no room for interpretation.
No, it's bad interpretation.
There's no room for interpretation when you allow a screenshot takedown, because you can go look here, right here, video evidence. You cannot argue this that it is rear standing and his hand touches. It's a takedown. That is what I appreciate about it.
Can you lose rear standing status? Yeah, I'm behind you now. I'm dead serious. You say it's to interpretation. Yeah, I was rear standing, and then something happened. I'm not behind you anymore. I'm sort of to the side. I'm sort of to the it is. There is still an element of interpretation.
So I saw this exact call happen in the Allen Hart Jordan Titus match earlier that night on Friday night.
And believe me, Kyle Brackey brought that up to me.
I thought it was so dumb. Titus did a standing Granby out of mat return, and they called the two, and it's just like freaking. I know my Tigers get 2 points, but I roll because that is such a terrible call.
They
need to get rid of it as soon as possible, please.
I will say that's a big time Kahuna's call to make against number one in Penn State. The number one wrestler in Penn State.
Right, I'm just there. Surprised he saw it. You watched
so
it.
Fast.
When I watched it live, I was like, what are they doing? And then rewatching it, you know, and we have the benefit of slow-mo and pictures and all this stuff. It's like, okay, I see it now. But at the time, I was like, man, terrible. But every ref we talked to is like, yeah, that's the right call.
Yeah, it's the right call based on the rules, but it's a really stupid rule. Man, Michael Beard looked really good against Max Dean. I mean, he was just like, I think it was four takedowns to two, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just so clean on all of his takedowns. You know, Dean is such a good scrambler, and he was just clean on his finishes on all of them. I was really impressed with him in that match. 97's all shook up, I think. You said it was more clear. I think it's more shook up.
No, what I meant was, like, pulls our focus of conversation towards 90. There's no clarity there on who's in. I mean, who should even be number one right now? I think Younger Bastida should be much higher. I mean, he's six right now. He should pass Truax. He should pass Buchanan, who's coming out. He should pass Warner, who he's now beaten twice. Should
go Elam one, Bastida two, Dean three.
That's what I would do. Because yeah, well, you've got a Laird loss there. Now. Dean's got two losses. And I don't know where you put Michael Beard, because he lost to Nino.
And Nino lost to...
He didn't just lose to Nino.
No, Nino has not lost. Nino's beaten Bronagle, Beard, and Jackson Smith. Yeah, I mean, it's a small body of work, but he still hasn't lost.
He's having a good year.
Yeah. He's Nino's looking great. And, yeah, Beard, great performance there in that match. The re-attacks were really the difference there.
Good.
And I was pretty surprised. I mean, I set this line at 3.5 for Max Dean because mm-hmm. Beard did not look great against Nino. Yeah, against Nino. So you're thinking, wow. You said it. Did you say it after the second loss or the first loss where you think Max Dean is still the guy to beat?
I said it after the second loss.
There's still going to be a lot of people picking him come NCAAs if he doesn't take another loss.
If he doesn't take another loss, it means he's got a whole bunch of good wins.
True.
Yes. And so I think there's the element of those guys in March, and it's a tough thing to pick against.
He's already done it, obviously, once, which is
we saw him lose to Kim Caffey that's last season.
Yes,
this is not a man. Mm-hmm. This is not. I was gonna say Yanni. I mean, although Yanni took a he's taken a loss.
Say Ben Askren.
Yeah, he
wants us to say that.
He is not an untouchable.
I was thinking Starocki or Brooks, but
yeah.
I'll take it. 87 in a row. Yanni couldn't get there. It's a tough number to get to. I don't think Brooks or Starocki will get there either.
Yeah, especially if Starocki took his fifth year, maybe. But I don't. Sounds like maybe. He's not going to do that.
It sounded like RBY wasn't going to either.
Well, yeah.
We already knew that.
We
mean? I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
got it.
So. Bastida, though, did a great job against Warner, and 197, I think it's Rocky
Bastida one. Bastida is so good when you get his leg in the air at defending.
Yeah. That's what Dresser said, too. He's like, you just watch practice. He'll spend a half hour bouncing on a foot, and guys can't put him down.
Yeah, I've seen him there a lot, and on the watch party, I said right when Warner got into the leg, I go, Bastida is so good. When he elevated it, I said, Bastida is so good here, he will not take him down.
That's so Cuban, too. Like, they're all weird. Like, they're that crazy flexibility and strength, and they're hard to plant.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to horseshoe him, and then eventually you're just going to get frustrated and, like, try and dive at that ankle, and then he's going to split sprawl, and you're not going to get it.
Well, for Warner, I thought he looked really good getting to the leg. He had some really nice attacks on Younger that I wouldn't have expected him to get as easily as he did. But just finishing on that guy is a problem. I'm really curious to see where Younger's at underneath. And he didn't go under, and he didn't have a...
He did save you a pie to the face by not getting a tilt.
Oh, yeah. is that what I said? Why were we talking about Younger tilting Jacob Warner? Because Warner got tilted. Yeah, it's like, come on, give me a break.
Got killed by Amos this weekend. I didn't watch the match. I saw the score, though.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy.
And Corbis is 6-5 on the year, but he almost beat Jacob Warner.
Yeah, he super did. Cassiope beat Skyler 9-2, which is an improvement for Skyler, who got DQ'd last year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He did spend a lot of tummy time in the first period, though.
Yeah.
Cassiope's a tough guy. Skyler's good, but man.
Made everybody hold their breath for a second when he locked up that crate.
Yeah, it was crazy. Okay, that was Iowa State, Iowa. So we've hit 10 of the thousands of matches that happened this weekend. So we're on a...
Well, we talked about beer, too.
We did talk about beer. Okay, so we're kind of doing...
I talked about Willowan also.
Willowan, that was top of mind, for sure. So Iowa, Iowa State, that's in the books. They talked about, hey, should they do a home and home or home and away every year? Drescher said he would be down, but
yeah,
I kind of like that it's just one. I kind of like one a year.
Yeah, make it matter. Like that way there's no, like, do I want to see it again? Yes, obviously. But it just wouldn't have the same, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cachet or import or...
Yeah, like importance.
Tension.
You know, everything rides on this, and they're not in the same conference, so they don't even see each other a lot. Like, this is when you have to get it done.
Well, Iowa State doesn't really lose anyone that notable this year, and Iowa loses Muren, Spencer, and Warner. So, next year could be Woods really is back.
Oh, he has one more year after this? Okay.
I know he's
23. But they lose three really important pieces right there.
Mm-hmm. They lose Coleman. At 184.
Oh, Marcus Coleman.
They've got a lot of 74, 80 type of dudes, so I think they'll probably have someone good. Probably not Coleman level, but they should have a guy. Yeah. Okay, where do we want to go now? Should we Cliff Keen, Las Vegas happen?
We got to go Vegas, but we're not
going to. We don't have enough time. Let's push Vegas to tomorrow.
No, we got to talk some.
It's
only 9:25. It's 9:25, and we started freaking late, so we can go a little long, too.
Okay.
We owe the people. We owe it to ourselves.
I wanted to get into the weeds, you know, Vegas and everything that comes out of
it. We will.
I don't know if we can do that.
Well, we'll get into the weeds.
20 minutes, okay.
Okay, well, weed number one, Colton Schultz lost to AJ Nevels. That was very...
Keith Cawthard is crying right now.
Why?
He is number one Colton Schultz fan. Because he just loves big, massive dudes.
Keith Cawthard.
Oh.
Hard. He loves Colton Schultz, but he might like AJ Nevels now. But Nevels then tripled.
He went semi-slide.
Yeah,
he did. So, and Schultz forfeited out after this. Or did he wrestle
there
one
was
match?
So he many wrestled one match, defeated Lee Harrington, and then forfeited out.
What'd you say, Ben?
The seventh place matches, there was more forfeits than there was wrestling matches.
Yeah.
It was annoying.
Happens. Yeah, that happens. So that was being, you know, we were kind of deprived of, you know, we would have seen Davison versus Schultz. That would have been interesting. And then potentially Schultz versus Paris again. Or as it stood, we got Davison versus Paris, which was a good match. But Mason wound up winning that one. Some nice exchanges there. But that was pretty much the story at heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean that really affects
seeding.
Schultz is not getting the number one seed at Nationals now. I mean, I think it just comes down that's a huge factor there. And then you didn't talk about the great American hero Wyatt Hendrickson. He beat up Big Slob in a great quarterfinals match. And then he came back and he actually unfortunately it must have been a state secret, but he injury defaulted out of the third place match.
Yeah, that's classified documents.
Because he wouldn't have done that normally.
He would have had Big Slav again.
Yes.
Mm. You don't get it. There's no benefit to beating the same guy twice.
This is true.
I know, I hate that, though. That's cowardly. Coward stuff.
Well,
there goes your hero.
Wow.
Well, he better, that's what I'm saying. It better have been like a state secret why he couldn't wrestle. You know, he's on a mission somewhere versus.
Yeah, he could have been on a mission.
He was definitely on the award stand.
But the mission could have been a Vegas-based mission where he had to just go.
This is true.
He had to neutralize a threat while he was supposed to be wrestling and then got back in time for the podium, which is what you would do if you didn't want people to know you were doing a top-secret mission.
This is true.
It is true.
Read a book.
Nevels looked great against Colton Schultz, but then, like you said, he semi-slid. He lost to, who was it? Davison, then Slavikuski, then Gordon, three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Colton Schultz in his redshirt year, in Colton Schultz's redshirt year.
Yeah.
So
really?
Yes. Really? At Midlands.
Oh.
So maybe it's just he's got the book on him, which he did, kind of. I mean, he executed a good game plan.
Tyrell Gordon kind of had a weekend. He beat He beat Orndorff and AJ Nevels.
You and I had a good weekend.
They did.
They really did. As a finalist. Bisco came storming back on the backside. It was their highest finish ever as a team.
Really?
At CKLV.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Nice work.
Certainly, that's also true for South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits got third. They had the most placers. They had 8 guys on the podium at Vegas.
They went from 10 points and 0 placers at this tournament 3 years ago.
Yep.
To this performance this year. Impressive stuff by Coach Hahn.
Coach Hahn's killing it. Those guys wrestled hard. And honestly, you look at it, and they left some points out there. They had opportunities to even climb a little bit higher there.
Like, how about my man Tanner Cook pinning Carson Crouch, but then that finals performance?
Oof.
Listen. He's going to send it no matter what. He's just going to send it. It was
live
wild.
By the sword, die by the sword. Come on.
He sent himself. Hey. Unfortunately,
I've never thought of Julian Ramirez as like short and stocky, but I don't know. In the finals, he looked kind of short and stocky. Am I like,
he's a little short and stocky?
You guys feel like he's short and stocky?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've never felt that way about him. In the finals, I'm like, oh my god, he's so short and stocky.
I like my height, maybe even,
I think he's a little shorter, maybe even in between you and me.
Yeah, he might be. I'm very tall. The GOAT Andy
Everybody Smith, is very tall compared to me.
The GOAT Andy Smith beat Tanner Sloan, and then Tanner Harvey beat Andy Smith, and then Trumbull beat Harvey in the finals. I thought 97 was pretty – I mean, the one of the bigger stories was Hoffman losing to Silas Allred.
Nebraska back-to-back-to-back. They freaking love Vegas.
They love Vegas, but also
– they do love it.
It's not just that. When you think about what – think about the conversation we were having after that North Dakota State duel, and then talking about the team they were having, the No Ridge Lovett, and you're like, oh man, this is going to be a tough year for Nebraska. And they freaking won Vegas. They were absolutely fantastic.
Brian Snyder, he told me Silas Allred and Lenny Pinto were going to be really good. And then I the ones that they both lost in that duel, I think. Or they lost wrestle. Maybe to other people, and I thought Brian lied to me, because Brian's usually pretty spot on when he tells me something, and man, then he beat Trey Munoz, and he was in the match with John Lowe when John Lowe got hurt. He did kind of have a semi slide though.
The match against Keck Eisen, he got majored, but that first period was very competitive. There's some really he had some nice moments despite not being able to score any points off of it. I thought he actually looked pretty good against Keck Eisen.
Oh, especially he lost to Sam Abdul Razak of Army. That was the one where I saw him. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, that's a little strange.
This is a discussion we had in Vegas. Do you consider bringing Ridge back now?
No.
CP said no. I said maybe you do, because if Ridge is back, you can make a push for a team trophy. And I think this is...
Listen, this is... They cannot win a trophy, I don't even think, with Ridge. I think it would be an extremely, extremely long shot.
I think so, too, but I think this is your year to make a push.
Why? Who? Okay, so they lose Labriola this year, and that's... Isn't that the only one they lose?
That's huge points.
Huge points, but if you think of all these guys get better in the next year, they only lose a singular person, and then they gain Ridge and another year.
Also, you look at they took 5th last year. They were one spot away from a team trophy last year, and they stayed the same at 25.
No, they lost a bunch of points. They lost Venz and Schultz. That's huge points.
Yes,
and
but
someone
they,
else. Oh, and who else did
Christian
they lose?
Lance.
But now look at Brock Hardy. That's an upgrade from Chad Redd, who didn't All-American last year. And now.
And Chad Redd. That's four huge guys they lost last year. Brock Hardy is not an upgrade. Stop.
It's not an upgrade yet. He could place, and Chad Redd didn't place last year, but you can't say right now he's an upgrade. 41 is in shambles.
Well, that's why.
And we don't, but we don't know where it's going to. He lost. He was majored, I think, by Drogemüller. Like 3 weeks.
He lost 10-4 to Drogemüller, and he lost 9-7 to Ryan Jack. Oh, I looked it up.
Yeah. So he's good. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but you can't just say, he's going to do better than Chad Redd, who was fantastic in March historically.
Hey, does Peyton Robb graduate this year?
No, I don't think so.
No, he has one more year left. I don't know if he's going to graduate or not. But of eligibility, he has one more year.
Keep Reg in red shirt for sure.
I think it would be kind of going back on. You don't change the plan. You can't be just fly by night like
that. Yes, I agree. But I at least entertained it. CP shut it down immediately.
I'll say this. I don't think that's being entertained at all. I don't think there's any scenario. And then you're kind of wasting a year because Ridge has not been preparing to be the guy. He's been preparing for next year.
Can he get
year.
Back to the finals?
Yeah, and it's like, I know he made the finals last year, but that's not a guarantee this year. You know, I mean, he could. He would probably be the pick, but I just think you let him get better and then develop him.
Maybe I just wanted to see Nebraska win a team trophy this year.
Maybe you did. Maybe you did. And it is interesting because you look at I feel really certain in the top two, Penn State and Iowa in that order, and maybe some won't feel as confident in Iowa getting second. I do. But the 3-4 spot, it's really a dealer's choice. I think there are a lot of teams, and that is – I can see
Cyclones.
Mizzou.
Mizzou's they're definitely up there. They're gonna be attention.
Jacoby White's gonna
is Mizzou hater Christian Pyle.
He's gonna cry again. Where are the big points coming from for Missouri?
Rocky number one and Keegan O'Toole number one.
Yes. Yep. Continue.
Okay, Brock Mahler's just outside All-American range right now. Peyton Mako's just outside All-American range. Zach Elam, same thing. So they're going to need to punch some of those guys in. They get two in the finals, and then they punch some of those other guys. I mean, Allen Hart's right outside also, and I think certain maybe as well.
Yeah, so I think so much is hinging. Well, also, I do think Keegan's going to win and probably score 25 points, and Rocky Elam maybe will score 20 points.
It was a close one with Hall. Hall made him earn that win.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that was a wild match.
That was really wild. A couple of exchanges there. Peyton Hall is definitely matches up well. I said that he matched up well. Ben disagreed.
I think he's really just good also. Like, it's not just a good matchup. Like, he's actually really good. I think he's someone who has gotten, like, a lot better. You know, we talk about – sometimes we talk about who improves and who stays the same. If you look at like his, I believe he wrestled as a true freshman because it was COVID year, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was like okay. And then last year, obviously, he got on the All-American podium. And then this year, I think he's gotten even better.
Yeah. So now you think about looking at, so last year's team scores, the fourth place was 66.5 points.
Yeah.
And if you think,
Missouri might two more All-Americans out of the five that could get him on there.
I have a hard time. I mean, maybe Mahler, but Allen Hart, I feel like
maybe. I mean, Christian, there's a whole bunch of guys who are just right outside. There's five or six of them, and then the other guys who are even a little further out.
If we were talking about a different team, you would be like, these are guys that have been outside and they've remained outside. And
well, no, Mahler's actually been on the podium twice.
Yeah, Mahler, yes, but like Allen and Noah and, you know, some of those guys, they just kind of been, they're kind of been gatekeeper types of wrestlers who can get an isolated, really good win, but putting it all together has been tough. But yeah, Missouri's definitely, they're going to have a lot of bullets going. They're probably going to get
all
10 qualifiers again.
And they kind of have a lot of pinners too. So, you know, if you think like, say, Zach Elam, even if he, say, doesn't get on the podium, but he gets two pins, that's going to be, you know, 5 points. Mako's going to get a couple pins, even if he doesn't get on the podium. That's another 5 points. You know, and that if we have 45 out of Rocky and Keegan, those points start adding up real quick.
Yeah, they do. And it could be one of those tournaments where a lower score. I like to look the last 10 years, like what's the lowest fourth place score we've had? 66 seems kind of low. I mean, that's.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen, well, there's been tournaments where under 100 points has won it.
For sure. But like Arizona State literally had less than half of what Penn State scored and they got a trophy.
I feel like that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of the way it goes. I, you know, cause fourth place, usually I feel like maybe there's one or two good teams, like, but I feel like it's very rare where the third place team is close to the first place team.
Yeah, you're right. We should, you know, We should just do a quick, after the show, like quick crunch of the quant top division. Four team scores.
Yep, quant division.
Quant division, you're on it. They're on it.
Actually, it would be pretty easy because you just do a Google sheet and you list like the 10 years, first, second, third, fourth place, and then you do like a average, you know, of all the columns or all the rows. Mm-hmm.
Don't be revealing quant division secrets now.
Yeah, listen. That's proprietary. They can't understand how we calculate mean, median, mode, and range here.
Those are big words for someone who doesn't know how to read.
Got him.
I can read, and also that's math. But also, I'm way worse at math than I am reading. Okay.
All right, hold on. Let's go back to CKLV.
Let us.
Ohio State really had a terrible tournament, and that, you know, Carson Carson, somebody talked about, he... I don't know why he stuck with a head outside shot. If you're wrestling Tanner Cook, don't shoot a head outside shot. It doesn't turn out well. He's got such a good, we call it honey badger, you call it high flyer, you call it a lot of things. He's so good there.
Yeah, that was, you knew he was in some danger there and put him over. But yeah, not a good performance for Ohio State. Hoffman, Smith, and Orndorff all did not place. Mendez did not wrestle. Gallagher did not wrestle. Carson Karchla was the one seed. I'm pretty sure he got eighth. D'Amelio got eighth. Romero lost to Hunter Bolin, who he'd beaten twice already this year. Heinzelman gets tilted by Unger, just still struggling underneath. Sasso, though, was ridiculous. He killed everyone.
Looked really good.
He looked really good. And tournaments are
up with... Ethan Smith, I feel like prior to this year, was a super consistent performer, like rarely lost to guys that he shouldn't have that were maybe below his level. And he'd been kind of continuing to get a little better every year. And then this year, now he's taken a few losses where, you know, I guess Folk is good, but Folk is on a guy who's kind of been up and down-ish. And then he defaulted out after that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy shocked by Foca over Smith. I wasn't able to watch that match live, but 8-4 is a little bit surprising.
Is it three takedowns and two escapes, or was it two takedowns and some back points? I remember I watched the match. I'm trying to remember what exactly happened.
Three takedowns
for Foca.
Yeah, Foca, he was so close against Makai Lewis too. I thought he had a really nice tournament. And it entering that final, it did give me some pause for Makai against Labriola. I was like, man, this is definitely going to be a match. And I felt like Makai had some really nice flurries that I thought he would normally finish, but he wasn't able to convert.
Labriola's tough in there. He has one of the better leg passes in college wrestling. His ability to get back to that leg, because he almost got it. Was in the first period he almost got one too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's good there. He's really quick and rolls through and then pops up. Like, you know, he does the leg pass plus the roll through plus, like, sits up on him. Like, all of it happens, like, really snappy.
So, definite shift, you know, because I'm pretty sure when we did our tiers, we kind of put Starachi and Makai sort of in their own, with Labriola sort of on his own, and then the rest of the field. But
now, is
Carter on his own?
Yep. I was just going to say, is Labriola up or is it now Makai goes down?
I think Labriola's up.
Labriola's up with Makai, obviously.
Like I'm saying now, is tier one just Carter?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
It's not a Mike. Yeah, Labriola,
he gets one by riding time. You ain't getting your own tier if you're not getting an island on effing riding time.
He's on an island.
There's no islands given on effing riding time, Christian. I will take this island away. I will fill in the gaps. I will bring a barge with sand on it, and I will fill in whatever island hole you think there is. It's right time. Doesn't get an island.
With Ben. It's a three-person tier one, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah. But then there's just part of me that just like...
You can still have a favorite in a tier, like a pick that you are going to, like, that most people will pick. But it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Michael Labriola is a thing.
Holy moly, I didn't realize you guys had Folk all the way down at 23 in your rankings before this week.
Yeah, he's one where the potential and what you see in him hasn't always aligned with how he's been ranked.
Who do you lose to this year?
No one other than Makai.
Lost to Makai, that's it.
But he also
had a rough finish last year.
And he also hasn't beaten had not beaten anyone of note this year.
And he got hurt in, was it the Harvard duel? He got hurt. He got off to a good start last year, and then he got hurt and was just not the same coming back. So he got hurt in the rankings a lot by his poor finish last year. But he'll be back up in the top 10 in the updated rankings this week.
Yeah. What do you do with Ethan Smith? Because he's lost to Lennox Wolak and he lost to Foca. And then I hate the injury default out. And I'll tell you one, I just watched because it makes me especially hate the fact that you don't count them as losses. Luan was losing 10-0 to Ed Scott and he defaulted out.
An example where it, it's not great, but you can't count injury default
wins. Ed Scott, notorious pinner, could have pinned him.
No.
Or will Luan? I mean,
Luan is not notorious pinner, bro. He ain't scored more than 3 points. He sure shit ain't getting to 10.
Hey, you saw him put up double digits twice. This was a new Luan.
Yeah, he did. You're right. He did.
Yeah, I mean, if the NCAA changes their stance on it, then maybe we would too. But
it is just so preposterous because in a match like that, and you're down 10-0, you're like, wow. And he probably got a little ding, like he just didn't totally fabricate it. But it's like, what's my impetus to continue?
Yeah, the problem with the rule is, and it's not our rule, it is our rankings policy, but it's not the problem with the rule is, man, you can just, if you know there's no path back, you can just injury default out, and it's less of a thing. So, yeah, that does hurt Ed Scott, who I thought had a great tournament, and he wrestled Peyton Robb as well as he ever has. Robb.
That's the match I thought we were going to see in the duel.
Yes.
At the beginning of the year.
Robb
and then,
killed him in the duel.
Yeah, Robb killed him in the duel. And so Robb was my pick to win this weight. I thought it was going to be similar to the duel against Ed Scott again. But Peyton Robb, especially now with Brayton Lee going down, he's very much title contender.
Title contender? I mean, it's like Brayton, one of the favorites.
Guys, Brayton Lee did not look good against G. Feller.
No, he didn't. I didn't think he did either, Ben.
No, and if you're John Smith, why on God's green earth are you going to make Caden G. Feller go to 49?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's so dumb. Good.
Just let him go. You know,
for God's sake.
The Oklahoma State is the only team where I can remember them like working guys down in weight classes during the year, but it's happened sort of consistently for them.
Yeah. And honestly, Voinovich at 49 and Sheets at 65 is better than any other lineup they're going to have in there. So it's better for the individual and it's better for the team. It's just like, it's completely insane.
Yeah. Now with a win over Brayton Lee, it's unlikely, in my opinion, that he's going to be able to notch a win of that caliber probably at 49 between now and whatever he can make 149, which we should find out what he weighed in here. Did he weigh in light and beat Brayton Lee? That would be insane. Here, let me see if I can find out.
Yeah, because, I mean, the other thing is, obviously, if he is working himself down, the first few matches down to the next weight class are going to be hard, so you're likely to have some not-as-great performances. So to your point about beating other good guys and seeding, and none of these matches at 57 count for a seeding at 49. So it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So G going to climb the rankings some more. In 57... is another interesting weight where I don't know how it's going to play out. Monday just gets it done.
Yeah, Luan's at 2 and Ed Scott's at 12 right now, so that's going to flip a little bit.
Well, Luan will fall.
He lost to Kendall Coleman.
Because he lost to Kendall Coleman.
Yes.
But it won't. The Scott thing won't.
He also lost Ed Scott.
He certainly didn't win.
Took an oath.
He took an oath.
To not predict the outcome of matches, only take results into account.
Yeah.
Why didn't Andonian wrestle?
Virginia Tech didn't wrestle a couple of their guys.
No Kinson, no Andonian.
Yeah. Damn. And he was out with injury. So.
Okay.
Shoot. It was always the plan because Coach Roby said, yeah, we're not sending the full squad to Vegas. It'll be, we'll have some starters out.
It was good to see Makai, though.
Yeah.
Didn't play out for him.
It's probably good for Makai to experience that though, yeah. too, you know.
You want to take that loss now versus in March.
Yeah. So, good job at that way. 57 was wild. 41 was crazy as can be. And I think you looked at that, when you saw that, there had to be a one seed at this bracket, but when Matten was the one, you're like, okay, there can be total chaos here. And that's exactly what happened. Yep. Hardy pins Matten. Hardy goes on to win this tournament. He's a strong son of a gun and really performed well in a really fun way. I think Cale Happel is really good.
Yes.
And can make waves at this weight as well.
Now he's got two wins over Clay Carlson.
He does. He does.
Yep.
Beat D'Amelio too.
Mm-hmm. It was a good performance by him. It was a really fun weight class. I thought Ryan Jack did a good job as well. Yeah.
Well, it was fun because Vince Cornella.
Probably it was like the 90th most interesting thing, but Cornella looked like he had Carlson beat. He had this beautiful attack, and then I think it was like a duck, and he came up tight body lock, and he ended up just like sort of pulling Carlson on top of him and gave up the takedown. It was wild. Cornella's right there with these guys too. He's good.
He did lose to Phileas on the backside. He came back and wrestled.
Yeah.
And then Phileas went on to lose to Crook. But
Crook, who continues to be pretty freaking good. Yeah. How did he finish up?
Fifth or sixth? Yeah. Fifth.
He lost.
Carlson had forfeited out. Bad.
Okay, that's notable. Yeah, Carlson was limping a bunch afterwards. Thanks. So, we didn't get all of Cliff King. We should do some questions, right?
We can do question mega show tomorrow.
Mega question show Wednesday.
No, we don't have a show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
show
Wednesday.
I feel possible. Like we should go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I feel like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, because I feel like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday is a little strange. Oh, my God. Oh, I just watched that highlight that you were talking about. What was he doing? Oh, God. Hey, I feel like we should kind of go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, because I feel like today we are wanting to talk more because we're like, oh, we're not going to be able to get talking until Wednesday.
Also said this is the craziest regular season weekend ever.
Yeah.
And if we could talk tomorrow, and then Thursday could be like our intro, our preview for the upcoming weekend. So Monday, Tuesday could be recap, and then Thursday could be the preview of the next weekend.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do that.
I'm free tomorrow morning if you guys are.
Yeah, I'm not. That's one of the reasons. Ooh. Tuesday's a freaking stupid day for me. Way too many meetings. And I don't think it makes a difference. And Shane Sparks Wednesday. I would never want to lose that.
Shane Sparks Wednesdays.
They put Shane's Max Murin love on full display. Oh, the music's playing. I don't know what's happening.
He's kicking us out.
We're getting the playoff.
Are they playing us out?
Yeah, we're getting played out.
Like we're an octogenarian receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars. They're playing us out.
Hey, I want people to call in. No questions. I just want hot takes from this weekend. Hot takes only. So Colin, you can give me your wildest, hottest takes.
I had a point.
That'd be fun. And then we can roast them. But then we can roast them, JD.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
I remember what I was going to say. Max Murin, they can't stop me from talking. They can play the music all they want. They can crank it up on me. But they said on the Big Ten Network, it was like, and there's Max Murin, the man that Shane Sparks thinks is going to win or can win the national title at 149. I was like, oh, man. Now it's hitting the national airwaves, Shane.
That's the wildest take of all.
It's up there.
I think it was the wildest take where he said he didn't know if he wanted Max Murin or Ryan Deacon to be his daughter's husband.
Yeah, or no, but Jack Medley, top five.
That's it.
I'll give you a guy. Top five.
That one did not take long to not
eat. And when I say top five, I mean fifth. Jack Medley.
That's all-time bad take. Oh, my God.
All right. I've had worse. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Thanks so much. We will be back Wednesday with Shane. And you, hopefully.
Hey, let's go.
And hopefully back on our socials. Try to get that squared away. Thanks a lot, guys. See ya. We'll be right back.